Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William. What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, well, were you trying to call me again? What happened there?
Yes, the I lost connection, and then I end up calling you twice. Yes.
Okay.
Crazy opening. Trying to cover it up, but thank goodness.
I don't think we ever got disconnected there.
I thought we did, but it looks like we were still connected, and I was calling you on two. I had you on two lines, and yeah.
Okay.
But luckily, we are together again. So, we have a lot of stuff to talk about on the show. Like I said, I'm William Rameau. He's Macaulay Matthew. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got WrestleMania recap, the March Madness. Review of the winners on both the men's and the women's side of the NCAA tournament. Also, a little bit of American Idol. And, of course, what's going on with opening day just happening last Sunday with the Mets and the Yankees bringing on the offense thanks to Sterling Castro and, the Warriors' quest to greatness, and plus so much more. And, of course, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. And I want to thank you guys in advance for listening and calling and tuning into another episode of Sports Urban Legend. So, Mac, what's going on with you?
You're doing good, man. Hanging out with you, talking sports. Watch some baseball today, which you're going to get into.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1.
To delete and re-record
your message, press 3.
Hello?
For delivery options, press 4.
Yeah,
to send
what is
a
that?
Fax, press 6.
That
to cancel
other,
this message,
that
press
line,
star.
So,
to send this message
now,
this press pound or hang
this.
Up.
This is really
I think you still have the other line on your phone.
Yeah, but this
to replay your message,
your
press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3.
This
for delivery
crazy.
Options,
this
press
really
4.
Ridiculous.
To send a fax, press 6.
To
cancel this message, press star. To send this message now,
show.
Press pound or hang up.
Yeah, you want to...
I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
Hello, Mac. Yep, back.
Yes, we are back in business. Sorry about that, folks. sorry for that technical difficulty. That was easily the weirdest technical difficulty we had. My fault. But what were we talking about first?
Well, we're going to jump into talking a little bit baseball, right, to start the show,
right.
I guess?
Yes, correct. Yes, let's do that. Thank you.
Yeah.
This thing got me frazzled. But, yes, you know, Mets start opening night in Kansas City against the defending champion Kansas City Royals. The Royals, they beat up on Harvey again. Stop me if you haven't heard that story before.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to game five, I mean, Harvey did pitch well. You know, he did, you know, he boosted up the, you know, after he, when he, you know, feared that he was going to be taken out of the game, which Terry Collins was intending to do, but, you know, Matt Harvey in, you know, game five of the World Series, Matt Harvey convinced Terry Collins to get him into the game, and by the time he got to the mound, he lost all his control and his, you know, his aura on the mound. And as we all know, the Mets lost that game. Matt Harvey pitched well, but fortunately, the ninth he ran out of gas, you know, because of his emotions trying to plead with Terry Collins to get him back into the game. But
right.
Fast forward to game one of this season, Matt Harvey, he pitched well, but, you know, in the game, you know, the Royals, they have that say die attitude, and they just kept plugging away, stealing bases. It was like game six of, What should have been Game 6 of the World Series being played out many months later. So, you know, of course, Mets did have a rally. Mets were losing 4-0. They cut it to 4-3, and that was it. Really, they had some scares of trying to come back, but the Royals, you know, like they did in the World Series, you know, they kept the Mets at bay when they needed to. And that was Sunday night. Fast forward to Tuesday afternoon, the Royals got their rings. I mean, they got their rings, and the Mets, they had Syndergaard on the mound. And as you know, for all you trivia folks out there, Syndergaard was the only guy on the Mets to win a game in the 2015 World Series. So would Syndergaard, a.k.a. Thor, bring down the hammer on the Royals? You bet he did. And he had a brilliant performance. He struck out 9. I think he went 6 innings, if my memory serves me right. He pitched well. The Mets had some offense. Neil Walker, the newest Met, the guy who's replacing Daniel Murphy at second base, he hit a 2-run home run, and that proved to be the game winner. And the Mets would win the game by the final score of 2-0. And fast forward to Friday night, the Mets, you know, opening day at home, Citi Field. You had, Jacob DeGrom, who's expect his, him and his wife is expecting to have a baby anytime soon. So, you know, he pitched, and, you know, he only pitched 6 innings. He pitched well. But he left the game not because his wife was going to have a baby, but instead he was having some back problems. So, you know, he wanted to be cautious with it. So, rightfully so, they took him out of the game. And, you know, the Mets would end up winning that game, I think, by the final score of, 7-2. You know, Michael Conforto had a big game. And basically, the Mets got the win at home. So then later or earlier today, or I should say early on Sunday night, Saturday night, I should say rather, Colon pitched a brilliant game, and he was being matched by the Phillies' young guy. I think his name was Velasquez. Yeah, he was pitching great. I mean, he got 9 career strikeouts, and he was matching Colon pitch by pitch, strikeout for strikeout. Colon was throwing 92, which, I mean, since his, you know, Cleveland, Montreal days, I mean, that's as high as he could throw it nowadays. So,
yep.
I mean, Colon was on his A game. The only mistake he did was he gave up a home run to Ryan Howard, you know, and, you know, Ryan Howard is up there, you know, on the all-time Met opponents who have, you know, most home runs against the Mets. I think he has like 44. So I think only, I'm thinking Willie Stargell, I think, Willie Stargell, Tripper Jones, Pat Burrell. I think those are like the only guys who have more home runs than he does.
Mm.
So, you know, he adds another one to that total. And that proved to be the game winner because the Mets lost by the final score of 1-0. They had some opportunities. But the young guy, Velasquez, he held the Mets at check. And unfortunately, as a result, the Phillies got their first win of the season as a result of it. And, you know, now the Mets are going to try to win the rubber game, you know, later today. And, you know, one of the glaring things, you know, the Mets have the pitching as advertised, but the offense has been, other than, you know, the home opener on Friday, you know, afternoon, the Mets offense has been pretty weak. And the big culprit of it is Cespedes, man. Cespedes, the streak that the slump he's had since the last year's playoffs has continued. He's chasing after balls in the dirt and the elusive high fastball way out of the strike zone. He's still vulnerable to that. You know, that's his kryptonite, and they are really exposing him like Lex Luthor. You know, you know, taking a time machine to go to Krypton. I mean, they're just really killing him with that high fastball and you know, off speed pitches in the dirt. So he really needs to get his act, or you know, he really needs to get his stuff in check, because the Mets fans finally booed him, you know, because of that.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be the anchor of that offense. But, you know, it's still early. You know, let's not get too crazy. You know, we're still 3 games into the season. So, these guys are going to be a little rusty, you know. So, let's not go crazy here.
I mean, I'd agree with you, but this guy, man, he's a continuation of the slump from the playoffs, man. He needs to get it together. I mean, like Terry Collins said, if he has a 3-for-4 night tomorrow, fans are gonna give him a standing ovation. You know, he just needs to get back to the basics and try to. Basic and, you know, try to get a hit, man. Try to get a clutch hit. Jeez,
yeah.
I think this guy's like 3-for-15 or something like that. I mean, it's probably more than that. Probably 3-for-20 or something like that.
Well, you know, guys are gonna be rusty when the season begins. You know, that's understandable. It's still early. I don't think you should kill the guy. You should wait maybe 20-30 games in the season and then start criticizing him, but. Too early to be doing this.
But I think the reason why there's 2 factors why the Mets fans are doing this. One, his salary, he's making $27 million a year. And 2, it's a continuation of the playoffs. I mean, ever since the playoffs, he's been in this prolonged slump. And, you know, they've been supposedly working on his, you know, his weakness. And it's still exposed, man.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, they gotta get their act together, man.
He's gotta get his act together, I guess.
Yeah, him and the entire offense. Conforto's like the only guy who's hitting on the team right now.
Yeah,
I know I know the Mets are what 2-2 now as they try to get the opening the rubber match of the Philly series later today. But you know, the Mets, they have high expectations. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
a wise uncle, you know, once said, with great power comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
definitely.
You know, they need to get into Spider-Man mode and listen to Uncle Ben, because they got the target on their back. You know, all they have is a pennant to show for it.
Right.
They don't got the championship.
It's true.
So they got the target on their back. They got to get their act together. And I don't know if you noticed, but the Mets, before their opening day at Citi Field, they received their rings in a private ceremony. Have you checked out their new rings?
No, I have not.
Man, it's beautiful, man. It has orange and blue on it. It has, like, inside the ring, it has like a photo of, like, the pennant trophy. They also have, like, the years that the Mets won the pennant. I mean, it's a very beautiful ring. I mean, imagine if the Mets would have won, how beautiful that ring would have been.
Oh, yeah.
But this ring is very lovely. But the Mets got to get their act together. But, you know, switching gears to the Yankees. The Yankees, you know, they've been playing, a lot better lately. Especially Sterling Castro, man. Sterling is a darling. What's his name? John Sterling been saying.
For real. The guy had three in the Yankees' second game against the Astros. He had a 3-1 home run. I think he went 4-for-5 or something in that game. He continues to hit. He's hitting like over 400 right now for the season. But yeah, he's helping this Yankee offense. This Yankee offense is looking real good. Looking like the Bronx Bombers of old, you know, scoring 16 runs in that second game against the Astros, and then following that up, scoring 8 runs in the third game. And yesterday against the Tigers, you know, they got shut out. But today they come back and they score 8 runs.
8 runs, you're right.
Yeah, beat the Tigers 8-4, powered by A-Rod's first home run of the season. And CC Sabathia pitched very well. He's the only pitcher so far who's lasted more than 5 innings in this early season. So Yankees are looking good right now. 3-2, offense looking real good. Pitching is still questionable right now. But, you know, I like the way they're playing, you know, looking like the old Bronx Bombers there. So
yeah,
far, so good.
I mean, yeah, I have to agree with you. I mean, the Yankees, their only losses went, you know, against, like, you know, credible big-name pitchers. You got, you know,
yeah.
Of course, Dallas Keuchel, who's the reigning AL, you know, Cy Young Award winner. And, of course, Yankees are familiar with him in the last year's one-game playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they lost to Jordan Zimmermann, who was a pretty good pitcher with the Nationals. You know, up until him signing that big deal with the Tigers. So, you know, the Yankees, like you said, other than the pitching, you know, the offense, you know, has showed up for the most part.
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully it continues.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye out on the Yankees, how they're doing. For
yeah.
sure. But switching gears, a team that everybody's been keeping an eye out on is the Warriors. And they won a close one against the Memphis Grizzlies Saturday night a few hours ago. And I think the final score was what, 199, I think it was.
Yeah, they came back.
Like a real close game.
Yeah, 71-9 right now.
Yeah. They're the second team in history to win at least 70 games.
Mm-hmm.
And now they got to win these next couple of games to cement their history, break the record, one more to tie it. You know, the Bulls record, 72-10, and two more to surpass it. So they're on the right track, but I think they're going to be facing the Spurs soon. So that's not going to be a walk in the park.
Well, they beat the Spurs, several days ago, you know. But that was in Golden State. Now they have to go play the final game against the Spurs at the Spurs' arena, and the Spurs have not lost a game there yet all season.
Yeah, exactly. Spurs is the only undefeated team now because the Warriors shockingly recently lost at home to the Celtics, who are also finally returning to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
After missing it, you know, in recent years.
Yeah.
So yeah, Warriors. It's pretty simple what they got to do. They got to win out to win.
Pretty much.
But they're in a dilemma. Should they rest the guys, you know, and prepare for the postseason, or suit the guys up and try to go for history? I say go for history.
Yeah, it sounds like they want to go for the record. So does it look like they're gonna rest anyone?
Yeah, I think they should. Yeah, I think they have the right mindset. Especially those guys played today.
Yeah.
Curry didn't have a good game, really. I think he only made like three-pointers, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, they're doing the right thing. They got to go for the record. There's history.
Yeah. Either that or tie the record.
At the worst case scenario, you got to tie the record. But
yeah.
Right now they gotta go into the final game with a chance to try to break this record.
Yeah,
but it ain't gonna be easy. And speaking of, you know, not being easy, congratulations to the women's UConn Huskies team. They won four straight in a row and they defeated Syracuse for the title.
Man, I think Gino's giving those girls some steroids, man. For real, every year. For real.
Those girls are incredible, man. I mean, they won four straight. I mean, that's like unprecedented. And then you got Gino. I think he's the first coach, period, in college basketball to win 11. I mean, he's on Phil Jackson territory. Except he actually built the team from scratch, and you know, led those women to multiple titles.
Well, yeah, they have a good program over there at UConn. You know, they get all the great players from all the great women players from high school to go there.
Absolutely.
And play for them. You know, every year these girls end up going to the WNBA and becoming great.
Oh, yeah, and Breonna Stewart, she ends her career, you know, being undefeated in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, congratulations to her and the seniors, you know, to getting to that next level, WNBA. And I wish those girls would play for the Liberty, but.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I don't think only through free agency, maybe in a few years from now.
Yeah.
The Liberty. I think they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think it was Indiana, right?
Yeah, it was Indiana, yeah.
So, yeah, they're not going to have a high pick in this draft.
But they still have a good team.
Yeah, no doubt. And ironically, Isaiah Thomas is the GM. And Bill Laimbeer is the head coach. I mean, they have the bad boys teaching the Liberties to be
the bad girls.
You know? So, I mean, hopefully the Liberty can take it because
I hope so.
Their brother team, the Knicks, you know, let's just say they're nowhere near Villanova on the men's team who, you know, they pull off an amazing victory. You know, they won by the final score of 77-76 with a dramatic last-second three-pointer.
Yeah, by Chris Jenkins.
Yeah, man, I mean, you got to tip your hat to that guy, man.
Yeah, he got balls of steel.
That's not like a Will Ferrell movie or something. I must be thinking. No, I think it's there was a ping pong movie. What was that?
Was it ping pong or an ice skating movie?
Oh no, Blades of Glory. I think that's what you're talking about.
Right,
I think there was like a handball, like a tennis, you know, like a table tennis one, like.
Oh,
they
really?
Had Christopher Walken and Terry Crews.
No, I've never seen that.
Like, I never saw it either, but it might have came out like in 2004 or something. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, shout out to Chris Jenkins, you know, making that last second shot because, you know, the UNC was going to win another title.
Yeah, but Villanova, Villanova, they played great in this NCAA tournament. I mean, they had a lot of blowups, you know, throughout the season and in this tournament, and they played great defense. You know, great players. Yeah, I think they deserve to win that championship.
They absolutely did. They bust a lot of brackets.
Yeah.
You know. And, yeah, man, they had that, the biggest, blowout against Oklahoma. The last round before that.
Yep.
The Final Four.
And they beat Kansas, who everyone was picking to win the championship, you know.
Oh, yeah. So they definitely deserved it. And, yeah, congrats to Jay Wright. You know, he got the NCAA, you know, got a championship.
Congrats.
As a head coach. So, yeah, this NCAA tournament for both men and women is going to be very memorable for many years to come.
Yeah, definitely.
And moving quickly to the Knicks, they beat the 76ers recently, and they honored before the game the 76ers honored Allen Iverson, who joins the new illustrious class that's going into the Hall of Fame. Shaquille O'Neal is going in, among other people, you know.
Yao Ming,
right? A big class.
Yeah. Good to see Allen Iverson going in and Sixers honoring him. He definitely deserves it. I mean, he was one of the faces of the NBA during the 2000s.
Oh, absolutely, man. He well deserved. He definitely needed to go into the Hall of Fame, and the 76ers to show him love because, you know, yeah, he didn't love to practice, but that guy, he single-handedly took the 76ers to the finals that year.
Yeah.
2001. I think it was 2002.
2001. Yeah.
That was 2001. Yeah. But congrats to him. I'm just regret that he didn't, you know, Dolan, according to the reports, Isaiah wanted to sign them, you know, come to the Knicks, but the last minute, you know, Dolan vetoed that thing. It would have been interesting to see him in a Knicks uniform.
Well, when did they want him to come here?
It was like, when year was that? It was like maybe 2002, 2003.
Really?
I don't know what year it was exactly, but I think it was like towards the end of his career, though.
Yeah, that would have been a
mess. Before he went overseas.
I don't think that would have worked that well.
Yeah, because I think if I'm not mistaken, we might have had Marbury that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it most likely wouldn't have worked out. But then again, what has worked out with this team? Other than what was it, 2011 when we went to the Eastern Conference Final a few years ago? Probably 2012.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2012.
Worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing's worked out with the Knicks since the glory days of the 90s. And there's rumors that, you know, Karambas might return as the full-time head coach, even though the Knicks are anything but good, you know, lately. Because I don't know if you heard that Derek Fisher and Kurt Rambis, they had issues because Kurt Rambis thought that Derek Fisher should have implemented the triangle offense more during his tenure as a head coach.
Well, the triangle, it doesn't seem like it's working. know, usually that way it's not used in the right situations, you know?
Yeah. Basically, you need two superstars to have the triangle offense to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks clearly do not have that. You got Carmelo Anthony, who's a star, but he doesn't have a cast.
I mean, Porzingis. Yeah.
But yeah, he's a rookie. You know, he's learning the game, but you know, it's. You know, a lot of pressure, and he's been injured a lot, Porzingis.
Yeah.
So, most importantly, we got to see what the Knicks are going to do in this offseason.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting summer again.
Oh yeah, an interesting summer is the Rangers. Congratulations to them. They're going to the postseason. They recently lost to the Islanders though. So, and I think Islanders they're going to the playoffs too. So. No, congrats to them as well. But, the Rangers, they won earlier today. Saturday, they won. They defeated the Red Wings 3-2. So, yeah, they've been going on a little winning streak lately, you know, on their quest. But they have a lot of guys who's injured, including Matt Zuccarello. So, you got to get these guys healthy before the playoff push, you know, happens, you know, very soon.
Yeah.
And
but hopefully this is the year that they win it all.
Yeah, most importantly. No doubt about that.
Because they're still one of the top teams in the NHL and the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. You know, one of the original six.
Mm-hmm.
All that. But, you know, from way back in the days. You know, just like in the sports, you know, you need the old school teams, especially in New York, to be, you know, in the running for a championship. You know,
yep.
It's good for the sport. And it's especially good for the fans in New York City.
Yeah. Playoff time.
But, no doubt. But, shifting gears, let's talk a little WWE before we get into some other stuff. As we was talking earlier, off air. WrestleMania, you know, it was very predictable. The endings were very predictable. Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar, they had a good match, but the problem is that it was short, and Brock Lesnar won. And some of the highlights was the highlight basically was the Divas match, you know, having Lita announce that the woman's title will finally replace the Divas title. And basically the woman's title is like a cross between the Intercontinental and the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
And we both agreed that Sasha should have won, but Charlotte is now the new champion, so I guess now she's a two-time champion, even though technically she didn't lose the title, but since it's vacated, she's the new women's champion as a result of the beating Sasha and Becky in the match.
Yeah, you know, as soon as they announced it, I knew that she was going to win it. I wanted Sasha to win, but, you know, unfortunately, might have to wait a little longer to see Sasha as the women's champ. So,
yeah, you're right. I thought for sure she was going to win it, but, you know, Charlotte is still the champion.
Yep.
Another surprise, one of the few surprises of the thing was The Rock confronting the Wyatt family and setting a record by defeating Eric Rowan in a surprise match in 6 seconds. So that shattered the Sheamus, 18-second record that he had when Sheamus broke kicked Daniel Bryan for the title after he was kissing, Daniel Bryan was kissing AJ at the time a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And this wasn't even like a scheduled match.
Yeah, it wasn't. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be a gauntlet match. After you pinned Eric Rowan, I was like, okay, are they going to have like a gauntlet match or something? Like, is he going to face, you know, what's the guy? Braun Strowman and then Bray Wyatt?
Yeah.
But no, that was it, you know. And, yeah, I was thinking they were going to, you know, I thought, you know, he would, like I said last week, I thought he was going to use the rematch clause and challenge, you know, Triple H for the title, because I thought, as we all expected, Roman Reigns would win, but I thought, and yeah, call me a fool, I thought WWE was going to actually be unpredictable this time around, but yeah, if you bet your money on the, you know, the results, I don't think any money, because everybody agreed on this, the same picks.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, I thought if Rock was going to have a match, it would have been an impromptu match against Triple H, because they've been hyping that match ever since last year. You know, he would have challenged him for the title and finally win a title, you know, a heavyweight title at WrestleMania. But that didn't happen, of course. Roman Reigns won, as we expected. And one thing that kind of PO'd me was, you know, in the Triple H's intro, you know, Stephanie was, you know, obviously, you know, she's a heel, she's doing her role, but, you know, saying basically, you know, they own the fans and all that stuff. I mean, the way how they treat the fans, you know, especially with the product these couple of years, it's like some truth to what they were saying. Like, they don't give a crap about the hardcore old school fans who support the product, you know, the product ever since, you know, the John Cena era. And they're basically caring about getting the new subscriber to, you know, sign up and get a free WWE network, you know, because that's all they care about. They care about getting new fans because in their minds, they already have you. And whatever they say or do, they'll just hand you a use, you know, toilet paper, and you'll accept it because they feel like we're mindless zombies that will accept whatever they give us.
Right. Yeah.
So what was your thoughts on the whole thing?
Well, I mean, WrestleMania, I thought it was a okay WrestleMania. It wasn't great, you know.
And that's the problem.
You know, there were some good matches. I liked the Divas match. I liked the IC match. The championship match was okay, but predictable. Dean Ambrose match, I was disappointed. I thought Dean Ambrose would win, but he lost. Overall, it was a B-, C-plus WrestleMania. It could have been better, but, you know, it is what it is.
Definitely.
A lot of things that were predictable. So,
and that's my problem. The Raws after WrestleMania these last couple of years have been way better than WrestleMania.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a huge problem because WWE, they lost their hunger. They lost their hunger to try to entertain the fans. They just know as long as they get big stars from the past to come and the biggest stars in Hollywood to show up, you know, and in sports as well, you know, people are going to come and check it out, the event. You know, they don't care. They don't care about doing anything memorable anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, another thing I should just remember, the Shane McMahon dive. That was like that match was a highlight too, along with the match. I mean,
forgot about that.
For Shane, yeah, I mean, that was the match of the night. I mean, the Divas one was close. But yeah, Shane McMahon, I mean, I was literally scared that he did the dive. I mean, yeah, I mean, sure, they took some precautions to make sure everything's okay, but it's scary. I mean, because if he made any, you know, sudden stuff that wasn't predicted, I mean, both of them could have been, him and Undertaker could have been killed.
Yeah.
And Shane, I mean, once Shane lost Undertaker, you know, basically the everything else was going to be predictable after that, because Authority would still be in charge, even though Raw, you know, they'd, you know, they weren't there. You know, Shane was able to run Raw, and a lot of NXT people showed up. It was, you know, awesome. You know, they had Apollo Crews debut and Enzo Amore and Big Kaz from that tag team, you know, feud with the Dudley Boys. It was very interesting. Raw was very interesting. Miz retained the title from WrestleMania that he gained at WrestleMania.
Regained.
I mean, he gained the title at Raw after Zack Ryder finally won the Intercontinental title, which was a big moment, one of the shocking moments of the night. So congratulations to, you know, Zack Ryder winning the title. But then Miz, you know, he now he's a new champion with the help of his real-life wife, Maryse. You know, welcome back to WWE. She returns. And now it looks like Miz is going to be pushed now.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Oh, no, I said, yeah, Maryse is back, but married.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Yep, what can you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's, you know, it's going to be a good move for Miz. You know, he's, you know, I think they'll push his character. Because his character, just like Zack Ryder, you know, the WWE's kind of watered down their, the gimmick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, congratulations, switching gears to Ida quickly. Congratulations to the new winner. I forgot his name, but, you know, he's the final winner, and they kind of hinted that there might be a idol in the future.
And looks like Papelbon, that guy.
And Walking Dead, we don't know who died because Negan attacked.
Check out my show, I'm at 11. Come back here and check it out.